The world is a scary place right
now. Oh, it's crazy.
And we are constantly being bombarded with stories minute by minute that are putting people on edge. One of these stories that we found kind of funny set off some controversy. Because we here in the break room thought maybe this idea was over the top, not to mention completely pointless on account of the age of these things.
Yeah.
However, a few people, one man specifically, thinks we are wrong.
Oh.
Because according to this man, it is your duty as the head of your household to ensure that everyone is kept safe in the event of a major global catastrophe. You're hanging out in the breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. You can hear our sexy voices.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to watch a man's wiry ankles.
Oh, yeah, they're a little ashy. They're dry.
Dry is what they are.
Well, yeah. I can't say that?
No, you can. You're not that. You can say it. I don't think that's what that is.
Well, you would know.
I know on pretty good authority.
I know.
I've never heard a white guy call himself ashy before.
Well, I think white guys can get ashy.
Okay.
Just dry.
That's another debate. Odyssey app, WCMF.com, YouTube, or Twitch. The Break Room, WCMF on YouTube or Twitch. And again.
Yeah, what's up?
If you ever miss any minute of our show.
Congratulate yourself.
The second.
Go buy a cake and eat it. All by yourself.
The second the show is over, the entire episode is saved right to YouTube. So you can watch every episode we've ever done from the start of our cameras.
Yeah.
The Break Room WCMF on YouTube. Enjoy from your friends here in the Break Room on CMF. So it's Wednesday. It's 8 o'clock. It's time for Hate Mail of the Week. And about 2 weeks ago, we brought you a strange story about the end of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at least as we know it.
Mm.
Some folks in the greater Rochester area, based on the things going on internationally, started putting together lists of known nuclear fallout shelters around town, and they started sharing these lists online.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was interesting about this story, Rochester has a deep history with nuclear bomb shelters. Because of Kodak and the work they did for the U.S. government, it is believed that Rochester at one point in the 50s and 60s was on a short list of cities the Russians would nuke during the Cold War.
Yeah, buddy.
And because of that, we had a ton of shelters. According to a story in the Democrat Chronicle in 1974, Monroe County alone had 584 fallout shelters that could house 377,000 people. If they were all still in
plus
use.
Plus all the stuff they stole from Kodak.
You got to throw the pens out. No, I'm not throwing the pens out. If all of those bomb shelters were still usable, that would account for half of the residents
Look
of Monroe
that.
County.
That's pretty amazing.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Okay, but usable was the key problem, right? These shelters haven't been maintained since the late 80s at best.
Yeah.
Right?
They're food, raggedy.
The food is most likely gone. The structures are most likely deteriorating. And if the unthinkable were to happen, it's believed that none of these places, despite them being everywhere in Monroe County, would offer much in the way of protection.
Your ass is fried.
We also told you about companies that are selling now prefab nuclear fallout shelters that you can have installed on your property for ridiculous amounts of money. And I think that's where we start with this letter.
All right.
Because during the discussion, we had asked if anyone had one of these where they lived, and nobody called.
Yeah.
But it turns out we found a man.
Okay.
And this man believes if you are not doing everything you can to protect your family, you are failing as a man. Actual physical letters sent through the mail telling us we suck, wanting us fired, worried about the end of the world. Mm. Sit back and enjoy today's Hate Mail of the Week.
I don't like how funny you think the threat of nuclear war is right now. And I also don't like how you painted people who are doing things to make sure if it were to happen, that they and their families would be safe. I heard you talking about bomb shelters, and I am one of those people who have had one at their home. It was already at a house my wife and I bought 15 years ago, but it was a major selling point. It has enough room, food, water, and supplies for 20 people. And that means if we were in a situation where we needed it, I would have space for myself, my wife, my two daughters, and their husbands and kids. We will be safe because that's what men do. They ensure that no matter what the situation, their families will be okay. And I think you are the stupid ones for not having a plan.
Stupid.
If the bombs start dropping and your wife looks at you with terror in her eyes, what are you going to tell her?
We're breaking
the
up.
Last moments you have on Earth, you'll have to think about how you've let your family down and ended your family lineage. While my family and I wait out the disaster, next time, think before you speak. Sincerely, Bill.
What an idiot.
Okay. Yeah. I really appreciate Moose reading that letter. Yeah. I'm sorry. There was something I caught that nobody else did.
What?
The word in the letter was lineage.
Yeah. Didn't he say lineage?
He said lineage. Does he not know what the word lineage is?
No, he said
I thought
lineage.
He said lineage.
No, he said lineage.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I may have heard it wrong. My apologies. Okay.
I don't know what either one means, so that's fine.
So this gentleman has his own bomb shelter.
Yeah.
And this gentleman is worried about the end of the world.
He's going to riot it out. And then he's going to pop out. And he's going to live.
That's right.
But your laughing ass is fried.
And before we get into this discussion, which I'm sure we will be making fun of this man at for some point, I do think it's important we point something out. All right? I get why, if you are of a certain age, the idea of nuclear war would be very scary for you. Because, Tommy, you know, if you grew up during the Cold War, which you did, Cuban Missile Crisis, happening in Afghanistan, Vietnam, Korea.
Maybe it feels more real.
Yes. I mean, you lived your life being terrified as a child of nuclear annihilation.
But they also told us that you could survive it.
Okay.
Like, it was survivable. You could go down into these bunkers, kind of like World War II when they with the air raids over London. And, you know, once it was done, you could get out. But now it's nuclear war.
Okay, but here's the thing.
So they preheated the city to 10,000 degrees.
I understand.
But yes.
Maybe that fear never really goes away and it's easily kicked back up. Okay. With that out of the way. You think a homemade bomb shelter is going to keep you safe?
No, as I'm saying, it's a crematorium. If it happens. If it happens. Like... No, there's going to be nothing left. But they even tell you, like, the bombs that that we tested, like, in Nevada in the 50s, these things that we have today, it's not even close.
And even if it did protect you from the initial bomb, wouldn't you have to, like, live down there for decades?
We're getting ahead of ourselves. Hold on.
Just 1,000 years.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. Say. All right, so this guy didn't build it himself. He didn't have somebody build it for
prefab.
Him. He bought a house that had it.
Yeah,
that's what he says in the letter. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
How can you be sure that thing's going to protect you?
You can't.
God forbid. Did you bring in experts in the field of nuclear weapons to check it out? Wait, is it still up and running the way that it's supposed to?
Is it up to code?
Like, you're putting a lot of faith, Kimmy, in someone else's work.
Yeah,
but how are you breathing? Like, where's the air coming from?
Well, I think there are, like, air filtration systems that go in these things.
Okay, but they get it from out there.
I don't know how these things work. Yeah. No, here's what's going
to
happen.
You'd have to ask the expert.
Some guy's going to call up and he's going to boringly explain it to you, or you're going to talk over him.
Yeah, if I'm living in a Trident submarine, I can survive it.
I also love this whole supplies for his family point, right? Because he says he's got enough supplies for his whole extended
20
family.
20 people.
Yeah. Yes, well, it fits 20 people.
Yeah.
How would you know how much you need?
Yeah.
You don't.
To your point about the time, I don't know what kind of destruction a weapon like this would do.
By the way, most people, when they're bored and stuck someplace, what's the first thing they do?
Well, you eat.
You start eating.
Okay, I guess you would have to have some self-control.
Do you eat all the garbanzo beans already? Jesus Christ, I was supposed to go to 2055.
What psycho just eats plain garbanzo beans?
You may be down to that wise guy.
You only got cans of veggies left.
That's it. That's all you're going to have. And no can opener. And did anybody bring a can opener?
No, but like in all sincerity, right? Like, let's say this was going to happen.
Right.
Terrible thing. You've got your bomb shelter. You're down there. How do you know how much food and water you would need?
You can't. So you would have to have an endless supply or so much canned goods. Because that's all you could have down there.
Yeah, because you wouldn't
canned goods, a bottle of water.
You wouldn't be guaranteed power to it, right?
There are ones that run on... I did a lot of deep research in the last...
So they have, like, generators?
Yeah, I mean, there's ways to power them.
How long do those last?
It's a great question. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. But I think the biggest question here, when it comes to this man attacking our manliness for not having... bomb shelters for our families. Why right now would Rochester be on any list for a nuclear weapon from any country? Kodak's a shell of its former self. We don't have a major military base anywhere near us.
No.
There isn't an arm of government that is necessary
There's no military around here.
Yeah, exactly.
Not really on anybody's radar.
Yeah, we're fine.
It would be a waste of a very expensive mission.
I'm going out to dinner.
Yeah.
Fish fry.
No. extra crispy, I hear.
Oh, very crispy. No, I would think... we would be fine because the next major, the big cities would be Toronto.
Well, that's pretty close. I don't know how.
That would be the one that I would think would be on the radar.
But
right?
Why would you bomb Canada?
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
The Maple Leafs are no threat. But no, you would bomb Canada.
Why?
Because they're like one of us now.
Okay, but like
they're almost a state already.
No, like what does Canada have that another country would be afraid of, like attacking them?
Well, they have an army and they have. Stuff.
Okay, yeah, but they don't have anywhere close to the... That's the reason why we're in this argument with Canada right now.
Oh. All right, so Toronto's off the list.
I just don't know why you would blow up Toronto unless you really hated the Sky Dome. Time to build a new stadium.
I just figured they would hit all major metropolitan cities.
Okay.
Like all the biggies.
This is why you're not a world leader. You're taking out.
This is the only thing holding me back was my Toronto take.
252-WCMF, 252-9263, hate mail of the week. A man who wrote us upset with our take that, you know, the list of bomb shelters in the greater Rochester area that has been circulating online for people that are worried about nuclear war starting, we said it wasn't that big a deal. Like, these things aren't going to be functioning anyway, so what's the point of finding these things? And this guy writes us and says he bought a house that had a shelter in it, and he stocked it. It has 20 people, room for 20 people. So when his whole family all, okay, I'll read you the quote. Because I think this is the funniest thing about this letter that we need to address. Quote, it has enough room, food, water, and supplies for 20 people. That means if we were in a situation where we needed it, I'd have space for myself, my wife, my two daughters, their husbands, and kids.
Okay.
How'd you like to have a father-in-law who's got a bomb shelter ready to go for you?
Oh, let me die. You know what? I'm going to stay on the other side of the door. I don't want to take up too much space.
Okay, let's see. Even before we get to the nuclear explosion.
Like sitting in a room with them.
Nope, forget that. Before we even get there. All just right. Knowing that your father-in-law has a bomb shelter ready to go in case. Over under, 1/2 nuclear bomb drill these poor suckers, these son-in-laws, have had to do for their father-in-law.
Because you had to drive there quickly, get the kids. Yep. Yeah.
I'm going to call you like the bombs are dropping, and then we're going to time how long it takes for everyone to get to shelter.
You know this guy hangs out in the bomb shelter when he doesn't need to.
Oh, sure.
So he's going to invite you to come hang out in his bomb shelter.
Okay, here's the thing. That I get, though. You've got it, so you might as well use it, right? I've got the space. How, as a son-in-law, do you handle your father-in-law having a bomb shelter for your family's safety?
How do I handle it?
Well, because you couldn't be rude. You could not, because like...
You have to thank him.
Even if you think he's an idiot, he's doing it out of misguided love.
Yeah.
Right? So, yes, you would have to be thankful. Any help he needed with it, you would have to help him?
Yeah, but it goes beyond that.
What is it?
Well, you know, he's going to call you and go, you know, I'm not going to be around forever. And, you know, me and the missus will be gone and the house will be gone. So y'all need to think about getting your own shelter. I've got a couple of brochures. I know some contractors. They can get you started. Like, he would push you to start building your own for the future when he's no longer here.
No, he's leaving you that bomb shelter.
Yeah,
he may sell the house. You may be gone.
I want you to both move into my home. We'll build a second house on the homestead. We'll have a commune, compound.
A compound. Yeah, it can go many ways.
Where you will share my bomb shelter for my grandchildren so my, as Moose put it, lineage can live on.
And I mean, I would be afraid too. Like, you know, let's say there's some old city ones around here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to your point, like, what's in there? Do they turn them into like storage? When I go down there and there's like a bunch of boxes with like Fast Ferry T-shirts, and I gotta move like painted horses and crap that they put around town.
No, you know, I think
a good question.
I think that would be a really fascinating. I would read that story, like if City Magazine or the DNC, if they went into these shelters, because
they're time capsules,
and they're literally in every downtown building.
Yeah,
there's a ton of them, and there are most elementary schools that were built in the 1940s and 50s have them too.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see what is in these shelters right now.
I guarantee it's storage of crap that they forgot about.
Yeah, because it's just, I'm sure they've just turned it into a basement at this point, right?
Well,
it's just a deeper basement, essentially.
Yeah, it is, really.
I don't know. I mean, maybe there are people that did not maintain to the point where it's going to look all shiny and new, but maybe there were people that were worried enough where they've kept it available.
All right.
I don't know. I mean, it's not out of the question. Like we said, that story in the DNC from 1974, let me pull it back up again, said that they had 584 fallout shelters countywide.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be statistically 1, 2, or 3 that people were like, let's just keep this going out of maybe.
But you know, anytime you have extra space, you just end up crapping it up.
Well, yeah, you can chuck the Fast Ferry t-shirts out if the bomb is coming.
I'm not throwing those out. We might get another ferry.
After the nuclear explosion.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm burping. All right, going back to the whole having your father-in-law in the bomb shelter. All right, so God forbid. Here come the bombs.
Yeah.
All right. The drills benefited you.
Right.
You've gotten to his house. You're in the room. You close the door behind
you. That's it.
You are
locked
now
in. We don't know how long.
Yeah.
Right.
Think about this. You are with your wife and kids, which is wonderful. They're safe. All right. But you are sharing a space, God knows how big, with your father-in-law, mother-in-law, sister-in-law, brother-in-law, and nieces
kids.
Or nephews.
Yeah.
No entertainment. No cell phone, I'm guessing.
Yeah, everything's wiped out.
Yeah, I'm sorry, the towers are probably
gone. Oh, everything's gone.
You got nothing, except for maybe an old TV and DVD player. That's when that DVD collection is going to come in handy.
Yeah, but you got to watch everything your father-in-law wants to watch.
What's wrong with Magnum P.I.?
Nothing but Dynasty for 20 years. I'm being serious when I say this. And maybe if this...
Oh, you want to die.
Maybe if this were to happen in some weird, crazy way, I would feel differently in the moment. I don't want that. I think I've had a good enough life where I'd be okay being vaporized than having to spend a year, two, three, living with all of my in-laws in a concrete bunker.
And I don't even care if I've had the absolute worst life. Like, if I never caught a break and my life sucked, I still went out of this goddamn hole.
You know, it's weird.
What?
I said the same thing to your mom. No, I think that you can divide all of humanity into two very specific camps.
Survivalists?
Well, folks that want to live through no matter what.
Yeah.
And folks that have decided, this is too much work for me to survive.
Quitters. And sissy boys.
But would you call them quitters?
Yeah.
Well, that guy would.
Well, I mean, you know, sissy.
Kind of like, you know what? Not worth it. I'm out.
Sissy boy is an interesting idea because, okay, I get that this guy who wrote us this letter would say that you are a sissy for not being prepared and not wanting to live. But couldn't you also make the argument that you're a sissy for not just accepting the fact that your life has now come to an end?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. Like,
yeah, you accept it.
It's not that you're tough for being like, okay, I'm going to die. Like, what are we going to do here? Right. But
you're not afraid of the end.
To the point you made earlier, what does life look like after something like that?
It's going to be miserable.
And, like, let's say you make it through.
Or maybe you just extend your life and there's no guarantee that you don't die in the end anyways. You know what I mean? Like, let's say, you survive the initial bomb and then you're down there and you realize, oh, crap, I've run out of supplies. I have no choice. Like, death could get even uglier at that point.
You're not prepared for things going wrong inside where you are.
Yeah. How could you be?
Right. So yeah, you remember like when all those hurricanes 1 year hit Florida, my brother got hit really bad. My brother has bought, you know, the freeze dried food. He's a big gun guy, big survival guy, all this stuff. Right. He ran out of LP gas for his gas grill because that's all they were living off of.
Oh,
was their gas grill.
He didn't plan enough.
Oh, he did. And they did.
Yeah.
But then he went out every morning and made espresso coffee on it, which means you got to really crank it up. So every morning, Mr. Survivalist had to have a latte and then sit outside in Florida in the dead heat, but he was burning through so much gas, and my sister-in-law couldn't figure it out because he was making it before she got up in the morning. He had one of those little old-timey espresso pots.
I don't remember about making espresso on a grill in Soldier of Fortune. I didn't read that
part. They don't have the camo espresso maker.
I would like to read one Facebook message. Again, talking about this guy upset with us because we don't have bomb shelters to save our family. This comes in from Dan. Dan says, this guy absolutely knows which one of his son-in-laws he's going to eat first if things go wrong.
All right.
Tommy, you're a loyal guy, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
Willing to help a buddy out?
All the way to the end, pal.
Well, here's the situation.
What's that?
I need a place to lie low.
Yeah.
The heat's on. I got to make myself scarce for a little while. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Guess what, buddy? Now you're under arrest.
Why?
And that's a situation one man from our area found himself in this week. Because it turns out you do not have to partake in the first crime to be charged with a crime yourself.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, watch just Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. A 56-year-old man from Batavia was arrested this week.
What did he do?
According to police, the man is being charged with hindering prosecution for harboring a fugitive.
All right, so he took somebody in and was on the run.
Yeah, authorities say the 56-year-old man allowed another man to live on his property, and this other man was wanted for several crimes. Now, they don't say in the story what those crimes are.
Yeah.
However, seemingly not having anything to do with those initial crimes, the 56-year-old man is facing charges of his own and now has a court date coming up. 56, is that a strange age to allegedly harbor a fugitive?
Not really. I mean, you could be, you know, living by yourself at that point. Maybe you're divorced.
Okay.
Like, you got the space.
Okay. Well, you said property.
Right, so one of your buddies went bed, and you take him in just to cover for his ass.
Okay, would you be more or less likely to take someone in hiding from the cops the older you get?
Less likely. I would have done it as a young man.
Okay.
Because, like, when I had my place in Webster, like, I always told guys, you know, you get in trouble, you can hang.
Wait, you said that out loud.
Not, like, you know, dead bodies, but, you know, guys want to get away from their old ladies or something like that. They wanted to cheat, stuff like that. I said, yeah.
Wait, you opened your house for your friends to cheat?
It never happened, but I did. No. I did put it out
there. No, but the fact that you said that out loud. Hey, man, if you want to cheat on your wife, I got a guest room.
Bro, I let one buddy stay who was a buddy of yours that was behind him like four different cell phone plans. That guy should have been arrested for being behind on different cell phone plans.
He had a couple of financial indiscretions.
Yeah, a couple of whoopsie days. No, but I could have seen myself doing it, and I would have been in my late 40s.
Kimmy, are you more or less likely as you get older to harbor someone from the cops?
Probably less likely. Okay. I'm too afraid of that now in my life.
I would have done it for you, and I would have just said I didn't know nothing.
Okay, but...
Nothing like you murder.
Okay.
But let's say, unfortunately, you did a hit and run.
That's manslaughter.
Okay. Keep your voice down. Let's say you did a hit and run. And let's say the people live, but, you know, whatever.
You know, that word whatever is doing an awful lot of heavy lifting in that sentence.
I would have let you stay to my place. And let's say you just need a little time. And I would have just said, I don't know why the kid's here. He's a drunk.
I do think, speaking of a kid, I do think a lot of people would be willing to do it for a younger relative, like a niece, nephew.
Family. Okay.
Somebody who definitely you want, who has always looked up to you in some way. Like you feel like almost like you need to protect them. I think that's maybe where you that line gets blurred.
So I think there's like a graph we can use here.
Yeah.
That I'm going to try and explain. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. When it comes to harboring a fugitive, which this 56-year-old man is accused of, the older you get, the less likely you are to allow a friend to hide in your house. Yeah. Like, you'll do stupid things, like you said, Tommy, as a kid for your friends all the time. I could see myself letting a buddy wanted for some sort of crime hide out in my apartment while I was in my 20s. And I'm sure you'd have done the same thing. Right now, I don't think I have a friend I would be willing to do that for. Family, however, I think the older you get, the more likely you are to harbor them as a fugitive in your home.
I mean, I've got some bad nieces.
I thought niece would be too far a connection.
No. I got bad nieces.
No, I'm saying you would allow your nieces to come live with you if they were accused of a crime.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't do it now, but if I had that place in Webster, let's say one of my... I got bad nieces in Florida, bro. And let's say she did something bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she went to some country concert and she knifed somebody or something. Because, well, there was... She was reaching for her bed of amphetamines. Something like that. I think I could take her in.
Kimmy, I think you hit it. Right? Kids, definitely.
Yeah.
Also, your older parents?
Well, not even kids, but maybe family members that were kids when you were an adult. Like, you may even still help that person out in their 20s, 30s.
I don't think I'm doing it for a niece or a nephew.
Really?
I mean, my own kids, I can't sit here and say I wouldn't.
Yeah, but you may be the first person they come to. Like, I'm thinking, like, if they're really in trouble and they're, you know, they don't want to tell a parent or a sibling, like a direct family member, you may be that first call because, well, you've always... You know, helped me out in the past because you know, I don't fear that you're going to judge me as much.
Okay. I love my nieces and nephews. I got a ton of them, right? I am willing to risk my freedom for my own children if there is an explanation they can give me where I go, okay. I don't think I'm willing to risk my freedom for the children of my brother and sister.
But let's say you don't have kids because, like, Tommy and I, like, we, like, our nieces and nephews are that close.
Yeah. They're like semi kids.
Yeah, no, the way you just talked about him, I could tell.
Hey, I'm taking you in, kid.
Yeah, after she knifed someone at a country concert, and I quote, reaching for her amphetamines.
I feel like we might have a different view of that, because we don't have our own kids.
Right, yeah.
And
I would just play dumb. I don't know what the kid did. You know, she just showed up here.
That's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. I'm sure this 56-year-old guy didn't open the door, according to police, and say, yeah, I'm harboring a fugitive.
I don't think it holds up in court. I think he can get out of it.
What are you talking about?
I didn't know nothing.
Of course, they're going to be able to figure it out.
They would have. I think a lawyer would take that case.
Of course they take that case. They'll take your money, and then you go to jail.
What's that? The lawyer for poor people.
Public defender?
Yeah, that guy.
He has to take that case.
Yeah. Can I pay him in amphetamines?
You don't.
I don't know what's happening.
252-WCMF, 252-9263.
The answer is yes.
We're talking. You don't pay him. The court pays him.
Oh, even better. Give me my amphetamines back.
A 56-year-old man from Batavia. Now you're arrested for amphetamines. You're brought to the courthouse. 56-year-old man from Batavia was arrested after police say he hindered prosecution for harboring a fugitive. They say he allowed another man to live on his property. This man was wanted for several crimes. We don't know what crimes they were yet. Not having anything to do with those crimes. This 56-year-old man is facing charges for simply allowing this man to be here. Do either of you think you have a person in your life that would hide you if you were facing charges?
Right now?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
Who?
I think my older brother would.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Law and Order.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, he's wishy-washy.
No effing chance he takes you in.
I think he does.
No, yeah, come on in. He'd take you in and then call the cops immediately. For some reason, ICE is at the front door. Let me see your papers, Mr. Italian.
I guess I could. I definitely could crash as some of my niece's, like, low-end apartments.
Oh, the one that
Florida.
You just talked about amphetamines with?
Yes. So I got two that have, like, they live in, like, cruddy apartment complexes in Florida.
Okay.
Like there's ponds with alligators, and everybody's, like, feeds them, like, marshmallows and stuff and puppies. So I think I could hang there.
Okay.
But it would be, like, on like, a cruddy couch. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, it's not going to be a posh experience. You're hiding.
But I, you know what, though? I could get by.
Kimmy, do you think you have someone in your life right now that would hide you?
Yes.
Who?
My dad.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
he, I know he knows that he's gotten away with stuff. So I think that if I was in trouble, he'd be the last person to judge and the first person to come up with an excuse.
Okay, so, like, you would have to have there are specific places where this would work and where it would not work. Right. Like, if you're going to hide from the cops at someone else's house,
yeah,
the more isolated the person, the better, right? No spouse, that works out good for
you.
Yeah, yeah. Less populated area works out good for you.
Any relative that has, as you said, property.
Yeah, yeah. You also would need someone who doesn't get a lot of guests.
Somebody who's really good at lying. Or, like, maybe not lying, but, like,
Playing it cool.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, you just described.
Well, no, you live with your wife.
No, but if I had property.
Well, you can never afford property.
I blew it
all on your tracksuits.
I lost it on property.
I blew my tracksuit money. I blew my property money on tracksuits is my favorite Rips Arkansas song.
Daddy had property, but he got tied up in a tracksuit gambling ring.
Shut up. 252-WCMF. Let's talk to Teddy. Hey, Teddy, how are you, buddy?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, man. What's
good,
up?
Teddy.
Hey, listen, as adults, sometimes you have to make tough decisions, either your family, friend, whatever it is, but you have to respect the law, and then you have to make the right decision. What is the best for you and whoever person that you try to protect?
Okay, so Teddy, let me walk through this personally. Can I ask you a couple of personal questions? Do you mind?
Of course you can.
Okay, how old is your daughter?
My daughter is 34.
Apple of your eye, your baby girl, you love her more than anything in the world. I'm making an assumption here, Teddy?
Of course.
All right, so Teddy, she comes to you and she goes, Daddy, I love you so much. Back even in your cruise days when you were stealing TVs like you told us a couple weeks ago.
Thanks, Tommy, for your help.
Daddy, something happened with the car. The cops are looking for me. I just need a couple of days to lie low to straighten all this out. Can I please just hide here? If anyone knocks on the door, I'm not here. You're going to tell her to go to the cops. You're beautiful. Baby girl looking you, doe eyes, tears streaming down her face. You've been her protector her whole life. You're going to tell her no, Teddy?
No, I have to listen. Go get a lawyer and then tell a lawyer and then just call for her. Try to figure it out later on.
Okay, she just got sentenced to 30 years, Teddy. Way to go. Nice job.
hey, Teddy, let's say I needed a place to stay. I was on the run for something, and I kept knocking on your door, and I go, hey, Teddy, you know, you're a big fan of The Break Room. Can you help me out?
It's just different what kind of crime, because one way or another, they're going to catch you.
Wait, they're going to catch him?
Of course they are.
Why is that?
You know, I mean, it doesn't matter how you think you're smart when you break the law. You have to decide it the right thing. I mean, rather than going to cost more money for you, might as well say, hey, let them go, and then taking care of whatever they might be.
All right, Teddy.
To be able to help them.
All right, so I'll put you down for a maybe.
Teddy, I don't disagree with the logic. I just think you are underestimating the emotion in the moment.
Yeah, I'm crying.
You idiot. His daughter. You are not the apple of his eye yet. We'll see where this goes. Teddy, Great to talk to you, buddy. Yeah. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, I'm going to miss you guys. I'm going to be gone for the whole month.
Oh, where are you going?
Indonesia. I'm going to be in Bali for 2 weeks.
Wait, you're not going to listen?
You're come?
Tommy, you go to Bali with Teddy?
I would love to see Bali. It sounds like it's really nice.
I'll take you over there, Tommy. I can find two mates, 20 years old for you, Tommy.
Put you in a suitcase. Put it in the overhead. You know, I hear it's a Bali over there.
Yeah, I love Bali.
Thank you, Teddy.
Teddy, have fun, bud. Stay safe, all right?
Bye.
There goes Teddy. Bali Teddy.
We'll be hearing from him for a few weeks now.
Yeah, he won't be able to hold back. He'll be listening on the app calling us. I am in Bali right now. You know, here's the thing. If you were to ask someone to do this for you, you, I mean, that's a huge ask in all reality.
Yeah.
Like, you are risking that person's freedom. You are risking that person's reputation. And look, to the point Teddy made, if we're going to look at this logically, all you're doing is staying free a little while longer.
Right. Because, temporary.
Yeah, someone eventually is going to find you. You will eventually have to face these charges. Like, the reason... The people that are able to stay on the run for like 30, 40 years, they make documentaries about because it never happens.
All right.
So, I mean, look, I'm 38 years old, right? Tommy, if I commit a crime and I ask if I can come hang out at your place, right, and hide, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life in your house.
No, but it gives you a breather. Then you can, you know, work your plan and, you know, get out of town.
What's the plan?
Get out of town.
Okay, then I get out of town and I get arrested there.
No, you gotta be cool when you get out of town.
So I'm going to completely change my life, abandon my wife, abandon my children, go wash dishes in Forest City, Arkansas. Because
of your joint.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
You already have a town picked out.
I do, but that's in case I have to abandon my family, not run from the cops.
All right.
Big difference. Go wash dishes at that place next to the media play I stayed at off the Motel 6 off the interstate.
It's probably a Starbucks now.
I don't know why you find this funny. What a dick. You're such a dick. This guy means so much to so many people.
He's a great artist. But
no,
again.
It's more than artist, man. Like, this guy speaks for an entire class of people.
He does.
Look, I would argue he and Springsteen are on the same level when it comes to describing life at a certain point in America.
Mm-hmm.
He still packs him in.
Oh, yeah.
And this bad thing happens, and you just start howling with laughter. Okay, you're hanging out in the break room. Watch just Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. We'll jump right into it. It was announced yesterday that the Billy Joel Sting co-headlining show.
Oh, yeah, big tour coming this summer.
Yeah, you got it. It was coming to the old Carrier Dome, the JMA Wireless Dome in Syracuse.
Mm.
That show has been postponed after some health issues that Billy Joel is now facing.
Yes.
Would you like to explain to the audience what happened?
So... one of the things I saw, he at the end of one of his shows, and I think it just happened recently, he goes to throw the mic stand, you know, like, and when he throws it, he falls backwards and lands right on his ass. Like, he loses his footing, and he hits the mat hard, bro.
Ooh.
As a fat old man.
Was that the health issue?
No, so I guess he's had other issues, but he's not discussing.
Oh.
But they did ask him, they go... what are you doing, you know, for your diet and your exercise?
Mm-hmm.
And he replied, neither. Neither. And he's 75 years old, and I don't think he's ever taken care of himself.
No, I mean,
ever.
He doesn't look like a man that's ever taken care of
himself. No, like, he just, yeah, like, you know, Mick's still running around with a six-pack in his 80s, and this guy, you know, he just looks like old fat guy.
Yeah, but they're around the same age. Who's having the better time? He's still banging hot young chicks, Billy Joel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Angry old man now, but he's got a dog and he's using it.
So, yeah, and some people think the tour ain't coming back.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, is when you start to hit an age with these artists where...
and you're not taking care of yourself and these health issues are
okay,
piling
now you sound
up.
Like a dick. Now you sound like a dick. You're not even taking care of yourself.
No, but him and the Pope, man, are in bad way.
Pope's on his way back, baby. Which, by the way, sidebar, if you believe the Pope is going to go to eternal paradise... Why are you fighting it so hard? Let him go, man!
That's true. If you're suspicious.
You're the holiest man of all men.
Yeah, you're getting there. You're getting up front parking.
Like, if I'm the Pope, stop.
Yes.
Let me go. But going back to Billy Joel.
Yeah.
And we saw this with a couple other artists. Aerosmith, I think, is the one that's the biggest.
Mm.
Aerosmith planned that big old tour.
Yeah.
Then they had to cancel a couple of shows that they were going to reschedule. And then the tour just disappeared forever, and they were never going to play ever again. And I think that's my big worry here with Billy.
Yeah, but these guys are aging out of the biz.
But I mean,
you're pushing it super long.
But I think it hurts more with Billy Joel than anyone else because, like, with all due respect to Aerosmith, they had a legendary career, whatever.
Yeah.
If you have seen Steven Tyler perform within the last 10 years, he ain't got it.
Well, it's very physical, and he can't do it.
And his voice is just not what it was, right? Okay, so, like, if you were going to go see Aerosmith on this final tour, you were going just to pay tribute to them, be in the same room as them.
Yeah.
Billy Joel's show is as good as is as good today as it was when he first started playing music.
Except point when he starts messing with the mic stand.
Except that, other than when he's throwing mics all over the place.
Look, is he? But has it? I guess my question is: does he take it down a notch? Like, is he doing as much as he used to do stage?
He sits at a piano.
Okay,
so it's easier to do.
I mean, he used to be, running around the stage crazy. Yeah. But yeah, that's
okay.
Still not getting
that's
like
two
full
decades ago, man.
He's not doing that. You're right. You're not getting that experience. But when it comes to audio,
do you think he's still got the voice?
I know he does. Right. I just saw him a couple of years ago at the Dome. Actually,
right.
I mean, I love Billy Joel, so take it with a grain of salt. It was one of the best concerts I've ever seen in my life. I was blown away by how well he sounded, how well he still played.
Right.
He's got a lot of his original band members. They were unbelievably tight. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life.
Okay.
And I walked away from that show blown away at his age and his shape, how well, and he played for like 2.5 hours.
Impressive.
It was amazing.
But, man, how long can you push that envelope?
Well, at least to 75.
All right,
It's got to be hard for those guys, too, when they see other guys that are older than them still going. Like, do you think, like, there's kind of this competition in their minds? Like, well, I'm not old as that guy, and he's still selling out arenas. And
that's a great question.
Because
they got to notice that.
Outside of the Stones and people like that, right, there's other artists that are still hanging around.
Yeah.
For example?
And one that creeps me out when I see him now is Rod Stewart.
Oh.
Rod Stewart doesn't even look like a human being anymore.
He looks like your guidance counselor. Your female guidance counselor.
If your guidance counselor died 20 years ago and they just found their body yesterday, looks so bad.
Why you got to hurt Rod Stewart?
But he still wears like those outfits that he wore 30 years ago. It looks so creepy, man. But he's still on tour. But I think he does Vegas and stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, those Vegas residencies are easier.
Yeah. Those guys in Vegas are creeping me out, man.
What do you
mean? They're creeping you out? That makes
sense.
But that makes more sense to me.
But the look. With the plastic surgery that just looks like it doesn't even look like them anymore.
Okay, but like you bring up Vegas too. Again, we're talking about Billy Joel, 252 WCMF. Due to health issues, he is postponing his tour this summer that was supposed to be coming to the Dome in Syracuse.
Yeah.
They say he and Sting will be rescheduling that show next summer, but to Tommy's point, he's 75.
Yeah.
Every time artists this old postpone concerts, that may be the end of the concerts, right? Like, okay, so the Eagles are about to start, if I'm not mistaken, a Vegas residency, a Glenn Frihlis Vegas residency.
This is like their second one.
Yeah. It's great that they are able to sleep in their own beds at night or stay in the same place.
Yeah.
It's not going to take the physical toll, which means the shows will be better. But now I have to go to where they are to see the show.
Right.
And it's going to be far more expensive for me to fly to Vegas, get a hotel room for a couple of nights, spend
shows
the money on those.
Cheap.
Yeah, those tickets are still going to be, they're going to be more expensive than they would be if they were coming to Key Bank Center like they did a couple
of years
ago.
And at that age, I don't know how the old Eagles are, but they got to be up there in their 70s, right? Minimum.
But again, it's not like jumping, right?
No,
as long as the voice still sounds good.
But I still want to know what kind of show I'm getting at that age.
Yeah. Like, it does seem like we're trending towards every classic artist playing residencies and that's it.
Yeah. But there's going to come a time soon where these guys start dropping because you're just getting so old.
It's amazing that they haven't started.
But it's coming soon.
Make it sound like a movie. Coming soon, dead Billy Joel.
It kind of is. Like, it'll be like every month you're going to hear who passed.
But you say that, but at the same time, the older they get, the more people show up to the shows because it's like, this is going to be the last time.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're also, you got to take into account, even if they don't have a residency that you have to travel to, they may start picking cities, like they may have less shows in bigger cities, which would still require you to travel potentially. Like, there are probably people that were planning on traveling to shows at the KeyBank Center or Syracuse that booked hotel rooms.
Oh,
yeah,
good
travel.
Point.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still taking a risk no matter where they're playing, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. You know, it's funny, Kimmy, you brought up a great point, that age rivalry with the artist. They're still doing it, so I should go. So, Springsteen, who I said.
And he's had health issues.
Yeah.
He had to postpone some shows.
And he's working out. He sounds like your father now. Oh, well, how'd you get that? How's that work? He's also 75.
Yeah.
And like I said, I look at Springsteen and Billy Joel, just time period, you know, people they're speaking for, they're very similar artists, right? Like, he's still going.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he's going to drop it anymore. Like, I am dying to know when Springsteen finally says, I can't do it anymore. Because 75, anybody that's seen Springsteen live the last 5 years, I've heard that show is mind-blowing.
Yeah, and he just keeps playing. He plays for like 3 straight hours. It's just, it's wild that anybody has that much
energy. I'm telling you, bro, we're coming up on the summer of death.
Why would you say that? And by the way, you're not that much younger than these guys.
I might be included in the summer of death.
We can only hope.
You're not even going to get to all your tracksuits.
Bury me in my tracksuits. By the way, before we forget,
what?
Tomorrow,
yeah,
another Tommy Tracksuit Thursday, a brand new tracksuit.
So a bunch showed up yesterday.
Okay, you started only having 3 tracksuits.
I know. Yeah.
You said you then had 5 tracksuits. How many tracksuits have you gotten up to now?
I think I have 7 total.
How are you so
compulsive?
So I got
3 yesterday from China, but they took forever, but they all showed up at once. And so I got, one is like really, like my wife made a statement when I opened it up. She said, I hope you don't think you're going to wear that around the house.
Oh, it's not even house worthy.
No.
Oh my.
I think it's too much. It's the one with the pockets. And she goes, those pockets are too much.
Going back to the discussion we were just having, Andrea writes us about Billy Joel. I saw Billy Joel several times in the 80s. One of his signature moves back then was to climb on top of the piano and do a round off back down to the stage. I sure as hell hope that move was retired. 75-year-old fat Billy Joel doing a backflip off his piano.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
You pay to see it, though.
Oh, yeah, sure. It'd be the last one he ever does in the summer of death.
All right, let's take a break. All right.